Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today is a lucky day. We are joined by my mom. Hello, Mom.
Woo! Hi.
So she's here today to kind of help with this topic, and today's topic is nervous system management. So we recently did a workout where my mom pulled a PR of a 300-pound deadlift. Congratulations, Mom.
Woo! Yeah, that was great.
She did awesome. And there was actually something that kind of happened that day that we thought would make a neat podcast. And we're going to kind of tell you about how the day went. And in the process of this, we're going to give you guys information on how to kind of better control your hormones and kind of chemicals in your body, adrenaline, endorphins, and stuff like that, and how to better manage your nervous system to where you can make sure that you have a good day, even on a quote-unquote bad day feeling. So, Mom, you want to go ahead and start?
Yeah. Before every workout, I have about a 20-minute warm-up, and that includes the sled pulls. Mm. And those are, at first, you know, you get all winded, and I was kind of sick from them, and I was there. I didn't really like them, but now I actually look forward to them because I feel that once I get them in, I can conquer anything else in the day, like Rob's workouts.
Yeah, so it's kind of her way of getting like the whole system warmed up, and I do it as part of her training, like we write it in there, for part of like just full body development. So it works the lungs, but it also finds any weak muscles.
Yeah.
So if you have any, like, say your hamstrings are weak compared to your quadriceps, like pushing and pulling and dragging a sled around helps balance a lot of that stuff out. And then also on our upper body days, we do upper body variations, and that helps work the core and some other odds and ends. So it's a really cool kind of quick warm up to just kind of catch everything. So kill a lot of birds with one stone, so to speak.
Yeah. So I had done the sled pulls and that, and I came in and I was ready for the workout, and Rob said, hey, do you want to go over some stretch techniques that you can teach your clients? And I said, yeah, I thought that'll be good.
Yeah, we had been talking about that concept before. And just give you real quick context of this is my mom does her warm-ups before we meet. So she kind of gets them out of the way so that we have a full hour to ourselves. And so when we were talking the day before, we had talked about doing the stretches.
Yeah.
So we normally would not have done the stretches at this part to work out, but we did on this day because we'd been talking about it and wanted to make sure that we got it in there for her.
Yeah, so as we were doing them, they were very effective and got all stretched out, but at the same time, I didn't even know my body was that sore. And when we got up, I felt really sluggish, and I just got kind of tired. But then I thought, well, you know what? I just have to do that. I had just listened to a podcast of Rob's on being my mindset. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what? I only have an hour. Let's just get it done. You can do this. You can stay with us for an hour.
Yeah.
And then I accepted it.
So we kind of did that. So she was saying how, like, we went into the stretches and it kind of, like, her body started realizing how sore she was. And it kind of started, and this is part of us, what we're going to talk about today, is she had done the warm-ups and the sled annoyance on the body, like how much it makes you work and you kind of get huff and puff. It kind of gets you up for the day.
Right,
so it kind of starts your adrenaline, which is like your aggressiveness towards the workout, and it increases your endorphins, which is your natural painkillers.
Yeah.
So typically we would have done that and then went right into our heavy lifting. But since we wanted to kind of review this and like go over stretches for clients' education and stuff, we kind of had to do the stretches right after we got that kind of up feeling from the sled. And the stretches, since you had already been up, they were actually a time of like slow breathing. We were kind of holding certain stretches for like a minute. So it really calmed her body back down.
Yeah, and then my body's saying, I'm tired. We can just quit right here.
Yeah.
And then Rob said, oh, we're not done for the day.
No. That was just the warm-up.
Yeah. So I knew he had the deadlift all set up, and I kind of had a feeling, but wasn't quite sure where we were going to go with it. So went over, and he said, I'll just do 5 warm-up reps. And I did them, and he just kind of looked at me. And then he said, well, he said, your body looks really sluggish. And I thought, hey, I have my mind. My mind is set that I can do this, but my body wasn't following me.
No.
So he said, well, let's do five more.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing happened.
Yeah, so we were kind of, we've had a history of, and she'll start laughing about this already, is one of the things we have to dance around with in terms of training with my mom, and this is not specific to just my mom, but this is specific to certain people, is caffeine. So we've taken pre-workouts, and certain amount of caffeine, my mom has a hard time focusing. So she'll have a ton of energy, but she doesn't listen to a damn thing. So, and so we found out that those caffeine supplements were not good because they made Rob mad. So then we found out that no stimulus whatsoever was kind of rough. She'd be kind of tired certain days, and it just kind of was rough. So we've been playing around with a certain amount of caffeine that allows her to feel physically ready, but it doesn't mess up her mental focus where right. we can stay focused on the activity. So when she started doing her deadlifts and they didn't look good, part of me was like, oh shit, like I wonder what, like what's
yeah,
going on here.
She
either
she
either wasn't gonna like feeling right, which is one thing,
yeah.
or her mind wasn't right, which is a whole nother thing. So I'm a tough trainer, and if it was a mental thing where my mom was just kind of tired and whiny and didn't really want to be there that day, I'd have ripped her apart verbally. So the reason why I kept asking her, I said, what's going on? Like, is it your body? Is it your mind? Like, what's going on? Are you here today?
Yeah.
And the reason why was because if it was the body, that's a certain thing I can handle and do. If it's the mind, it's a completely different thing. So I had to figure out which one it was. That way I didn't start to, you know, turn into a jerk for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, so then you set up a circuit. He says, well, let's get your body used to this.
Yeah, so since she said it was her body, and I figured this is the part that we hope you guys will take away. And personal trainers out there, I hope you actually kind of pay attention to this part as well. Is in my mind, being the personal trainer, her mind was here. Her body was here, but it wasn't moving well. So the fact that her body was the one kind of confused, but her mind was here and she was fully willing, she was looking to me to solve that problem.
Yeah.
And being the trainer, that's my job.
Because I was surprised that you said I didn't look ready.
Yeah, like you were trying what you felt was your best, and I could just tell that the excitability of the body had really went down.
Yeah.
So typically her normal speed of like a 135 deadlift or 185 deadlift wasn't there. And from us working together often enough, I know what her normal speed really is. So I could tell it was sluggish. So when she said it was her body, not her mind, my brain immediately went to, oh crap, well, we got to get her back up in terms of excitability. And we had already done the sled, and the sled takes 10 to 20 minutes. So repeating that would have just been the same stimulus. The body wouldn't have responded the same way. But we had previously warmed up. She was starting to get kind of like more cooled down because we had done high volume of the sleds, then the calmness of the stretches, and just a couple single deadlifts. So what we did was we jumped into a circuit. So my mind was two parts. Is number one, I have to get her excitability back up. So I have to make her do something that's kind of a shock to her system. But first of all, before that, would be the fact that I had to get her warmed up for it. So go ahead and tell them a little bit about the circuit.
Okay, and then you set up lying leg curls, lunges, and the hack squat. And the whole time I'm thinking, great body. You know what? Now you have to do more work.
Yeah. Why couldn't you just do the right thing first?
Yeah. So I was kind of like ticked about that.
Yeah.
So we went through that circuit. And then as we were going through, I guess you thought I wasn't warming up quite as much, and he kept banding the hack squat.
Oh, see, the banding of the hack squat was
actually to get
more excitability. It wasn't the warming up.
Right.
So what we wanted to do was we eventually put bands on, and when we post this podcast and announce it coming out, we're also going to make an announcement on social media with showing some videos, and you guys can check that out on Brutal Iron Gym on Instagram and Facebook and see what we're talking about here. But we put big resistance bands on her hack squat. And part of what she was doing with the lying leg curls, the walking lunges, and the hack squat was the walking lunges and the lying leg curls was just to get the blood flow into the muscles, and specifically get blood into the knees. Then the hack squat, what we did was the first set was empty just to get her used to the motion, get the motion down. The second set we threw on a lot of bands, And what the bands did was they made it very light at the bottom, where her joints would be most exposed. But it made it super duper heavy at the top. So when she unracked it, it would have felt like maybe 300 pounds.
Oh,
but at the bottom, yeah, it did feel heavy. Yeah,
I was and so then, freaking mad about that.
Yeah, and at the bottom, it wasn't heavy. It was only like maybe 100 pounds. So the process of the hack squat building up actually wasn't as – it was part of the warm-up, but it was actually to get that the endorphins and adrenaline back up. So as she went from set to set through the warm-up, the bands got harder and harder on the hack squat. The walking lunges and the lying leg curls stayed the same because they were just a warm-up. But the bands got harder and harder on the hack squat, and I kept telling her to go faster and faster, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So the idea of the hack squat was, number one, it would be safe. Number two, it was going to be freaking miserably annoying for her body. So by making her try to go fast and making it very heavy at the top, but safe that it was light at the bottom, it built up her explosivity. So she had to kind of explode up through the bands. And that started to recharge the adrenaline and endorphins and get her body back up to the way it would have felt kind of like excited after the sled pulls.
Yeah. Like I said, I was so freaking mad about the heavy hack squats. And so I thought he had lost his mind making me do these before the deadlift. And I was just upset about how heavy it was, having to put that much weight on myself. And then I thought, how in the world am I going to get back up? And
there was a lot of doubt, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of like stress over that exercise.
Then he told me to do them fast. I'm not a naturally explosive person. And then he had thought this all through, but I was thinking, wow, I might get hurt doing this fast. How am I supposed to do this fast?
Yeah, and by using the bands, we knew that as she dropped down into the squat, when her joints would be most stressed, we knew that the weight of the bands would be coming off. So as a trainer, that's what I knew would keep her safe, is when she was in her most vulnerable position, there was the least amount of weight load. So for example, on that machine, if you just use plates, the weight would have felt heavy at the top and the bottom. It would have felt heavy in her weakest position, her unsafe position, as much as it would have on the strongest, safest position. So unfortunately, that might have got her the same level of excitedness, but it would have wore her out. It would have made her more muscle damaged from that, maybe, you know, possibly a joint annoyance, but it would have taken away from her deadlift strength. By using bands rather than plate weight, we reduced the weight in the most weakest position, and that allowed us to reduce muscle damage and allowed us to maintain our strength for the deadlift.
Yeah, and after doing the hack squats, then I would go over and do one rep on the deadlift.
Yeah, so which felt harder?
And actually, it was the hack squat, because I thought, oh, I just did that unbelievable hack squat. All I have to do is just pick up this deadlift. It's only one rep. Just get it done.
Yes.
And I felt the explosiveness and the excitement and yet a little bit of anger in the beginning, because I was there like, oh, I can't believe I have to do all this work before I pick up the deadlift.
Yes.
And then when we went for the 300, he just had a lot of plates on. But I had a funny feeling. I didn't know exactly it was 300, but I knew it was going to be up close. But you go over, it was just so cool to feel that aggressiveness and explosiveness again. Because I haven't felt that since probably like being younger. Being younger, I could like more naturally get it, or I would maybe sometimes use anger, but I don't really use anger hardly anymore. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's hard to get that aggressiveness, and it was cool to experience it through the exercises that the hack squat was able to do that for me. And then by having that like aggressiveness and excitement, when I went over to the hack squat, then I was just able to keep the self-doubt out.
Yeah, for the deadlift. Yeah. So basically the hack squat, in a sense, served as like a slap to the face. It didn't hurt her.
Smelling salts.
So it didn't hurt her. It didn't take anything away from the strength available for deadlifting, but what it did was it made her not even notice the deadlift. So if you walked over to me and I slapped you as hard as I could in the face and then told you to go pick up a weight, you'd pick up the weight while feeling confused about why I slapped you in the face, and you'd be like, dang, my face really hurts. You wouldn't even be paying attention to what you're actually doing. And that was the idea.
Yeah, and I even commented that not even, like, I've, like, smell like the smelling salts before, like, maybe a heavy lift at a competition. Mm-hmm. But this didn't even compare to that.
It's a different type of excitability, yes. Yeah. So we had, like, motor neurons and nervous system excitability rather than just, say, like, your peripheral system where, like, you know, you smell ammonia.
Yeah.
That it annoys the crap out of your sinuses, and it can get you that effect of, like, clearing your brain or making your brain think of that pain of the ammonia rather than the deadlift, but it doesn't do anything to your muscles. Whereas what we were doing was actually creating excitability within the muscles.
Yeah.
So it was a much different effect. It was a much stronger, deeper in your bones kind of feel effect than the ammonia.
Yeah, yes. And when I went over to do the deadlift, like I said, I knew it was probably close to there, and everybody keeps congratulating me on this deadlift, but I really don't really remember it, except that when I was starting to come off the floor and I got to my sticky part, Rob yelled, squeeze the glutes, and that kept my mind busy, and it just went up. Mm-hmm. But the most I remember from that exercise is the hack squat.
Yes, the miserable miserableness.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she would unrack and go, oh my God, this is heavy. I'm like, move, just move. Yeah. And I was trying to push her through her doubts because I knew the effect. Like, number one, I knew it was safe. Number two, yeah. I knew that the effect required that she felt shocked. She couldn't have felt comfortable on the hack squat for it to have been effective. If she would have felt comfortable in the hack squat, she would have been back to being uncomfortable in the deadlift.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we knew that the heavy deadlift would have made her have doubts. You'd be like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this or da-da-da-da-da-da. So by forcing her through the uncomfortableness physically and mentally of the hack squat, her brain had already been so focused on the hack squat it wasn't paying attention to the deadlift.
Yeah, and usually mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, I have to fight myself against kind of testing the weight before I lift it on a deadlift.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah, so I didn't even, none of that went through my mind. I felt like, oh my gosh, I had done something great on the hack squat, and all I had to do was one rep on the deadlift.
Yeah, five crazy explosive reps on a hack squat seems so much harder than one on a deadlift.
Yeah, that seemed like the least that I had to do.
Yes.
So, this technique, which I called Rob's trickery, helped me to get that pump and that aggressive feeling to just get the deadlift done. Mm-hmm. And I just, from experiencing that, I just loved it because, like I said, it's just been a long time since I've felt just the body being that aggressive and ready to pick it up.
Yeah, and typically, this is something that's interesting in a sense of my mom is well aware of the sequencing of warm-ups into aggressive lifts. And 99.9% of the time, we always do it the right way.
Yeah.
So it just becomes a normal feeling.
Yeah.
And this will happen to be an exception because we had wanted to go over the stretches for teaching clients. And I knew that I wanted to do that heavy deadlift, and she had already done her warm-up. And the kind of the idea was, well, if we wait till after the deadlift or if we wait till after the workout, we might not have time. Let's just get these stretches in.
Yeah.
So we tried to just kind of force it. And unfortunately, what had happened was is it had violated the pathway that you should have for your warm-ups. So one of the takeaway messages I want you guys to get from this is that you have to have a correct kind of excitability pattern to your warm-ups. You have to do things in the proper order. So, for example, let's just say we have the components of stretching. We have a warm-up, a muscular-based warm-up, which example would be the sled push and pulls. And then you have like a really heavy lift, like say a deadlift. But it can be a squat or a bench or anything. Is if you think about those things, the warm-up is the stretches are kind of like low paced. They're not fast. They're not excitable. You know, you're just kind of like going through the motions of them, but there's not an excitement to it. Mm-hmm. So they're important, but it's not an excitement. Then when you go to the sled push and pulls, there's activity now. Like you're actually moving, there's blood flowing, the sled's kind of annoying, so it's starting to get like endorphins and adrenaline up. So, for example, what kind of kicks in there is your brain says, I don't really like doing this sled. This is uncomfortable. And then you have to keep doing it till the body says, shit, I guess we're doing this today. And then all of a sudden it says, okay, fine. And then it gets riled up and it's ready for the day.
Yeah, because your body will try to keep its thinking, oh, you better keep some energy back for your main workout.
Yeah, and then you'll go into the heavy lift after that. And that's when you need to have the most excitability, the most kind of natural painkillers up and running, the aggressiveness up and running. So if you think of the sequence where, let's say I did the sleds like we did, where it kind of got your body started into the processes of the workout, accepting the workout. But then we went to downgrading to the stretches. Yeah. And that actually calmed our body back down. Then we went and tried to go right into the highest excitability thing. Yeah. So that's why that pattern doesn't work, is it didn't follow the pattern of trying to get your body from calm up to excited for the big lift. Yeah. So the correct pathway would have been the stretches, the sled work, and then the main lift. And you want to think of this in your own workout. So if you come in, you do foam rolling or any kind of stretches or kind of movement preparation, that stuff should be done first before you start warming up the muscles and the joints with examples, say, like lunges or like, you know, some isolations on some machines or some band work or hip circle. So you would do mobility and movement prep before you do your muscle-based warm-ups. And then after the muscle-based warm-ups is when you would do your largest lifts. Yeah. So you want to follow that kind of excitability pattern in your workout. And if anybody's interested, we're going to send you guys a PDF write-up of some samples of how to do this. So if you want that, you can email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and we'll send you a couple example warm-ups that you can use to follow this excitability pattern. Okay, and then the other thing we kind of want to tie in with this is to make sure you pay attention to adrenaline and endorphins. So, Mom, when we do our warm-ups, so after we do like kind of our low excitement stuff, our mobility prep, when we do our warm-ups, are the warm-ups super easy and ho-hum, boring?
No.
So do the warm-ups have some degree of sweating and some degree of discomfort to them?
Definitely.
Yes. So, and the reason for that is when you start getting uncomfortable, where you start getting muscle burn, and you start having your body go, oh, man, I don't really like this, that starts producing your adrenaline and your endorphins. Mm-hmm. So that gets up your natural aggressiveness, and that gets up your natural painkillers. So it's really important not only to follow that excitability pattern for its own purpose, but also because it starts the production of adrenaline and endorphins. So when you're doing your muscle-based warm-ups, don't just go through the motions. So, for example, when I'm stretching, I'm not going to try to stretch so hard I rip my muscle off the bone or try to make some pain in that.
Right.
It's when you do your muscle-based warm-ups that you want to have a little bit of muscle burn, you want to start getting a sweat, you want to start getting some level of uncomfortableness. Mm. And that starts your adrenaline and your endorphins. Cool. Now, do you like the sled warm-up for that?
You know what? I didn't at first, to be honest. It was just so much work. I thought I'm wearing myself out already.
So you like it for, you don't like it, but you like it for the purpose we need it for.
I do, but now I actually, this is kind of crazy, but I actually like look forward to doing it because it seems like since I've been doing it for several weeks now, it has oddly given me energy a little bit throughout the day and that. And like I said, I figure if I get it through my warm-up by doing that sled, I can get it through the workout.
You can get anything. So in that little bit of boost that she's talking about in terms of feeling better throughout the day is just that little bit of the increase of the aerobic fitness.
Yeah.
So we just feel better throughout the day. We feel more energized because we're now a little more aerobically fit.
I'm more mobile.
We do a lot of different positions in her sled drags. So how about that, too? If you guys want a write-up of our warm-up with the sled, all the different positions, you can shoot us again an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you that.
Oh, there's so many various ways.
Oh, yeah.
Can't get bored.
50-plus ways to drag a sled. So, but that's kind of the takeaway messages is to make sure that your warm-ups follow a proper excitability pattern, so that way your nervous system and your body is ready, but and then also that your warm-ups, your muscle-based warm-ups, have some type of muscle discomfort, either like burning sensation or some type of difficulty to them, so your adrenaline and endorphins start peaking up from there. Okay. And then the other thing that we kind of focus on is when you're doing your lowest level stuff, like the stretches and the movement prep, we usually kind of use that time. You do need to pay attention to what you're doing, but there's also extra mental space. Yeah. Once you're in the position of a stretch, you have like 60 seconds just kind of sit there. Mm-hmm. So we take that time to get our mind centered in on the workout.
Right.
Yeah. So trying to leave, you know, the rest of the world outside and try to remind ourselves why we're here that day.
Right.
So you had talked about the other day about if I'm going to be in the gym and doing like 90% of my effort, you might as well do all of it, right?
Right. I just started... Because I think it was a good reminder. I'd watched one of your last podcasts and listened to it. And I just thought, you know, that's what I need to do. Instead of like sometimes dreading all the work that, or, you know, you get tired and dreading.
Yeah, right. Everybody has that. Yeah.
Dreading the work of an hour. And I thought, you know what? Because you always feel great. And once you're into the workout, you're loving it. And I thought, you know, it's just a mindset. I might as well be here 100% because it's only an hour. An hour of my day, 4 hours a week.
Yeah.
And what... For a lifetime of fitness, you can't. That's a great.
Yeah.
That's
4 hours investment
for all that return
per week.
For that investment.
Yeah.
It's great. So I have just switched over mentally, and I'm just giving it my all for that hour. And I'm really like in the mindset. You look forward to that. You look for the intensity of the workouts, and I think it makes a big difference.
Yeah, so it really does help. And that's what we do with the lowest level stuff is you get your mind right.
Yeah.
So I'll do that while I'm putting on my shoes or putting on knee sleeves or, you know, setting up a squat rack with certain bars and certain setups. I'm quite bad. Our first rule of the gym is do not bother Rob while he's training and working out. And that carries no exceptions. So I've threatened to kick my mom and my dad out of the gym before for nothing. And that's not really actually a joke. So So the reason why is because oftentimes people come over and they'll say, hey, before you start. And in my mind, I've already started. The second I walked out of my office and, you know, got to a piece of equipment or even started across the room to a piece of equipment, my mind had already started. So when people interrupt, they're actually messing up the process of my workout. That would be the same as interrupting me in the middle of a set of something. So people, knock on wood, hopefully all know that. So, and especially in our gym, we have really good people. But for people who are kind of new to the gym or new to this type of training, not everybody has to train this intensely and this focused.
Right.
Okay. For those people, those are the ones that don't have headphones in.
Yeah.
When somebody has headphones in, that's a universal sign for leave me the hell alone. So that's the thing. Like for somebody who wants to train this seriously to try to get the most they can out of themselves, your mind should already be starting well before your body really starts.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and that's what these warm-ups are for, this warm-up process, is you should start immediately getting your mind focused in on where you need to be that day to get the most out of yourself. So even though you have a low-level movement prep, in terms of body excitement, you should be getting your mind excited right away.
Right.
Yes. So, is there anything you want to kind of leave them on?
Well, what I really liked about this whole experience was I just thought it was really cool that even though my mind was right for the day, my body really wasn't ready, and how you just used that as a trainer. Mm-hmm. You recognize that, and I used the trickery.
Yes.
Trickery.
Yes.
And to get me that explosive, like, yeah. And the sad thing is, I don't really remember the deadlift.
She's still mad about that damn ass for us. Yeah. But I thought it was neat. So we thought it'd make a good podcast because I've been training my mom for 14 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had her warm-ups in sequenced forever. So very rarely, if ever, does she ever get to experience this where the warm-ups are out of sequence. So this was kind of a neat experience for her to realize whenever... This is going to sound kind of funny, but we had it perfect almost all the time.
Yeah.
We're almost always perfect, meaning that you've never felt it a different way. You've always just felt excited for the biggest lift. You always felt ready.
Yeah.
So this was an example where something got off course, and she actually got to feel like what most people do by accident.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they kind of do things in the wrong order. They get to their biggest lift and they're like, oh man, my elbow kind of hurts or my body doesn't feel like it. Like, I don't even really want to do this today.
Yeah, I was really wondering how I was going to get through it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that stuff, like those feelings should already have been addressed when you do a warm up correctly. Because it warms up not only your body, it warms up your nervous system, warms up your mind. It gets everything in sequence so you can perform your best. Mm-hmm. So too often people will come into the gym, they kind of start their workout, they get 10 to 15 minutes into it, and they just say, oh, I'm just having a bad day. That's actually fixable. So
there
are things you can do, and that is part of what this podcast is for, is if you are having, quote-unquote, a bad day or a so-so day, making sure that you follow the correct excitability patterns of your warm-ups, making sure that your warm-ups have some type of discomfort so it starts your adrenaline endorphin process, that all ensures that when you get to the big lift, you're fully ready to go. And that can really save a workout, and it can make sure that you perform your best on the big lifts, get every pound you can get out of them, get out of every rep, and all the quality of the pounds and reps that you do use and perform with. So doing proper nervous system management can make or break a workout much more than people recognize.
Oh, definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Cool. So if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. If you like the podcast, you can sign up to become a patron of the podcast by donating $10 or more per month towards the podcast, which kind of helps keep it up and running. And for your donation, we're going to send exclusive monthly content to the patrons. And that includes a monthly training program and then extra training information, nutrition information, and mindset and lifestyle information. That's all stuff that you can't find on our social media pages or in the other podcasts. It's exclusive just for you, just for the patrons. If you'd like to sign up to become a patron, you can do that directly on the Podbean app. You can send us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com, or you can do a Google search for Become a Patron at Brutal Iron Gym Podcast. And if you want an example of what that monthly content is, shoot us an email and we'll send you the first month. So that way you can see what's all involved in that and see if it'd be worth your $10. Hint, hint, it is. So I promise you. Now, also, if you like the podcast, please share it with your family and friends. So the more people we help, the happier the world's going to be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. This podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. And you can reach us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. So thank you, Mom, for joining us.
Oh, definitely. Thank you.
Yeah. So we'll have her back again sometime, next time I torture her.
So watch that video and definitely give it a try. It's really worth it.
Yep. So reach out to us and we'll send you the information on how you can do this on your own. So as always, I hope this was helpful. And thank you for listening.